smiling. You have a very nice smile. So I said, oh yeah? Okay. So I went in and I guess I fascinated these five men, and she gave a big, hyped me up, so as to speak. You know, she was not Bessie Lou at that time. She was a Caucasian agent. And
what was her name?
Mary Reeves. And it was after that Bessie called me and said, oh, I didn't know you were interested in acting. I said, I didn't either. And so then I changed over to Bessie because I was acquainted with her at that time. But anyway, so I talked to these five men and they liked me and they said, oh, we'll give you the job. And do you know, that was a very good role. And I didn't know that it was supposed to be a featured role. She was one of the leads in it. And I had done a lot of public speaking before then. So I said, oh, nothing to it. And so after that role, I said, oh boy, I better take some acting lessons. So I started studying with the Desert View Playhouse. And I studied for about 4 years at the Desert View Playhouse, on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got more and more interested into studying acting, because I think all teachers are kind of hands. And I made that transfer. And then gradually I felt that the media was a platform and was a medium in which I really could do more for Chinese Americans and for Asia America, because that was my interest, being a sociologist, you know. And I felt that the television medium offers great possibilities for not only entertainment, but for education, for better images of the Asian American. And that was the challenge, I think, that kept me into staying with television, acting, stage work, motion pictures for the last 25 years, because I'm interested in the media as a vehicle, mm-hmm, of expression.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I got interested into producing also, after I got into television. And for about 5 years, I produced public affairs shows, first at Channel 13 and then at Channel 4, that's KNBC. But with Channel 13, they were facing a problem with their licensing. And the FCC was getting after them because they did not have enough minority representation. And so there was a Chinese attorney by the name of David Wu, who was recommended to sit on their board, and he helped them with an idea. Well, why don't you do something on the minority community? So from that idea, they established a public affairs show that, mm-hmm, helped them in turn to get their license, mm-hmm, renew their license. And so they started off with this show doing a segment on the black community, the Chicano community, the Asian American community. And they asked the East West Players to do a show for them. That was, I think, their second show. So I came on with the East West Players, and right after that they said, hey, would you consider being a moderator for the show? I said, yeah, I'd like that, because I had done a lot of MC work, and as I said, a lot of public speaking before that. Ever since I was a kid, I, mm-hmm, used to do a lot of speaking for clubs and so forth. And so I said that, yeah, I would like to do it. So I started in moderating the shows, and then David Moody's attorney was helping to put shows together for about a year, and then he got too busy with his own legal practice. And so I took over producing and moderating these public affairs shows. And it was the first show ever done for Asian Americans in this whole Southland. And I suppose I was the first Asian American moderator and producer of public affairs shows in this country.
In what year are you talking
about? This was in 69.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed with Channel 13 for until 73. And then I went over to Channel 4 and started their first show in 73, I think. And I worked there until 75.
What show was this for Channel 4?
That was also a public affairs show. They asked me to go over to develop the Asian American show. They had a black show, a Chicano show, but now they were in the Asians are always last, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked me to go over to help develop an Asian American show. So I helped to develop a show that I entitled Expression East West, and that started in early 73 and went on through to 75. Then they went into a different format. They went into a show called Saturday that
mm-hmm.
lasted for about 2 years. Now they have dismantled that show. And the Frank Kwan, who you know, probably I brought in to
mm-hmm.
take my place.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I pioneered that show for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a talk show that I helped to produce. I was the show producer for a while on that. And then George Takei was the moderator, and then he went off to run for a public office, then I moderated for a while, then he came back. And then I wasn't so well for a while, so he took over moderating and producing it. And then I came back for a short period. And then while I was there, I also produced several specials, among which was a documentary on James Longtown, and I got an Emmy, a Hollywood Emmy for it.
Uh-huh.
My first documentary.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I was the first Asian woman to win a Hollywood Emmy also for producing.
Uh-huh.
That was an interesting show. A documentary on the life of James Longtown. And Jimmy was still living there.
Uh-huh.
He died in 76. And that show aired in 74.
Uh-huh. So you went from acting to producing.
But I was still acting all the time.
Uh-huh.
So that is really my steady. You know, acting, you're not always working, unfortunately. You're not always acting. But I've done acting for 25 years now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you get involved with the East-West Players?
Well, when I started into acting in 1954, there was another young actor at that time by the name of James Hall, who is still acting, directing now, and driving and producing. And we did some movies together. We did our first movie together, Love is a Many Splendid Thing. And as I said, I started my character acting with that first show in which Henry King was the director, and he understood the Chinese people very well. He said, "Oh, you Asian women, you just never age. So you will do, we won't age you too much, we'll age you down a little bit, and we'll comb your hair back, and you can play a woman in her 50s and play Jennifer Jones's auntie." So that's how I got interested in character work, and I've done character work ever since. And so Jimmy started out in that very first movie, too, playing the nephew of Jennifer Jones. So subsequently, Jimmy and I did a lot of work together, and then we did some stage work together, and we studied together at the Desilu. And one time we were doing Susie Wong out at Melody Land in Theater in the Round. And by that time, we were getting very dissatisfied with the kind of roles that were given to Asians. And a lot of it was kind of stereotypic roles. And so we said, we've got to get together a stage group and do some decent things. And where we would have a chance to flex our muscles, and where we would have a chance as Asian Americans to evolve some more interesting work. And at that time, it was prior to the Asian studies and the
mm-hmm.
Asian American movement.
Mm-hmm.
So we were not that well aware of being Asian Americans. we were well aware that we were dissatisfied with the kind of work that was given us because it really didn't challenge us. So we got together, a group, and we talked about doing some kind of an interesting piece. And so finally Jimmy decided to do Rashoma, which is a classical Japanese piece, and do it in English, and do it with all Asian cast. And so that's how we got started. That was our first piece. And then Mako came in to do the bandit's role, and Mako had the same idea. He was dissatisfied, and he wanted to develop a workshop. And so from that, we started the East-West Players, and we started the stage work, and at the same time, we had an arm of workshop study together, and we developed a workshop at the East-West Players production company, and then back in 1968, we started this group in 65, and then we started looking for funds, and I helped to write the very first grant, which got us a Ford Foundation grant.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote a proposal to Ford Foundation, and we got a $38,500 grant for about 2 years. It was a partial grant. And we got my church to loan us the fellowship hall for rehearsal. But from rehearsal, we asked if we could stay there. We stayed there for about 4.5 years. And we did productions at the church basin.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we went on to Santa Monica Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Sat in a storefront, which we couldn't do anything with for about a year. Then we moved a block east of there and finally developed the theater that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've stayed with the East-West Players for 16 years now.
What are you doing for them now?
Well, I was the president for 8 years, and and I still sit on the board. I'm still vice president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have a season, a production season. And right now, I just finished, as I told you, producing for the first time a Cantonese language play. We have a small county and city grant to develop two foreign language plays. So we developed a Japanese language play and a Cantonese language play. And it was really exciting because it was a social service project for the East-West Players to do for the Chinese community. And we just finished playing them
mm-hmm.
in Chinatown for the Castellar and the Chinese library. And then we played it at the Chinese Methodist Church and for the Chinese Civic Center. And then we played it for the Senior Citizens yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What's the size of the East-West Players?
It's a 99-seat house.
Uh-huh.
And so we come under a special ruling where our actors never get paid while they're performing on stage. They work hard, but they don't get paid. But if they go touring outside with other grants, then they get paid small salary.
Mm-hmm.
But I do mainly film work and television work, and not so much stage work. I myself.
Mm-hmm. You're still involved
I'm
with
still,
television?
Oh yes,
film.
Very much so. And this past year, I would say I've done some of my best work, mainly because the roles have been better. And this past year, I've done a couple of interesting and contrasting roles. I did the Steve Allen's portrayal in Meeting of Minds of the Empress Dowager
mm-hmm.
of China
mm-hmm.
during the Manchu reign. I played the Empress Dowager Cixi,
mm-hmm.
and then I did the mother on How the West Was Won, which was a story about a Chinese family coming to this country in 1869.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a very modern, sophisticated Japanese mother who's supposed to be an heiress of the Mitsubishi family
mm-hmm.
in a pilot called the Samurai, which was hopefully to be a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years ago, I went to Maryland to do this role of a Hong Kong immigrant woman who comes over hoping to be a secretary but she lands up being a domestic. And then she goes to room with a Dutch woman who's also an immigrant, and the two ladies really cannot converse, communicate. They talk, but they don't really understand each other. And it's a modern story of frustration, loneliness, and lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And it's anomie, mm-hmm. which the sociologists call it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting role. And those are the few interesting, more interesting roles that I've done on television this past year.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents alive during any of your acting
career?
Or?
Yes. My parents, my father lived until he was 88 and a half, and my mother lived until she was 76.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was an interesting woman. She was very, very flexible and very free with me. She just allowed me to do anything I wanted to. For an only child, that is something. I grew up being her mentor instead. You know, she was an easygoing mother, and I would translate for her being the only child at home. And my father went off to another city frequently because he was studying herbs, and he traveled some to other cities to set up business. But we were kind of rooted in Stockton with my relatives and my aunts. So I took over the household, more or less, you know. And I kind of steered my mother around ever since I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So she allowed me a great deal of freedom. And in those days, in my days, men would say to my father, "It's foolish to send your daughter to college. What do you want to send your daughter to college for? Marry her off." And they were always trying to match me off with the boy down the street, you know. And my father, no. He believed in education, whether
uh-huh.
I was a son or a daughter, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so he scraped up money for me to go to college, because when I went to college, my parents were very hard up at that time. And I was able to win a scholarship. And he supported me with what money he could. And he didn't want me to work. He wanted me to concentrate on my studies. So I did. And he was very proud of the fact that I was a valedictorian in my high school, and that I was a Phi Beta Kappa at Berkeley, and I graduated with honors at Berkeley. With a high honor at, I guess I graduated with honor, not high honor, at University of Chicago. And I got a very big scholarship to go to University of Chicago, so he didn't have to support me that much, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And the China Institute gave me a very ample scholarship, so I was able to use that for my 2 years of graduate.
Mm-hmm. How did your parents feel about your acting? They have any
strong
feelings?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. They were always tickled to, I guess, see me on mm-hmm. the tube.
Mm-hmm.
And they enjoyed that. And then once in a while I'd have a role where I speak Chinese, you see, and then all my relatives would say, "Oh, she looks so much like her mother," and they got such a big bang out of that. In Stockton, they'll watch me tonight and say, "Oh, she looks like second aunt." My mother was the ninth in the family, but the second girl in the family. She was, they had a family of 10 children in her family. So, surprisingly, my parents enjoyed it, because, you know, I did not start out being an actress. See, if I had started out being an actress, maybe that would have been a different thing. But I had at least an education which satisfied them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess they took it not so much as a serious career, but that I was already married and it was a side job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did acting get in the way of family life and being married?
No, because I didn't work that frequently, unfortunately, you know. But stage work, kind of, if I had continued on stage work, that did kind of get in the way, because I'm a day person, and my husband's a traditional husband who likes his meals on time. And I'm kind of a very methodical, on-time person. So I just have to give up acting on stage at nighttime, doing that much stage work. So that's why I stayed with film and television. So when the children were young, I kind of sandwiched in things. But then I went back to teaching for a while, too. I taught in the junior college system here in Los Angeles, some night teaching and some day teaching. I substituted in the community college level. And I taught for a couple of years on and off, in with my acting. And then I also was the administrator of a nursery school for a couple of years during the day.
Teaching with sociology?
I taught sociology for community college. For a while I was toying with the fact of getting my doctorate at UCLA. I started a doctorate program while I was teaching at the community college. But it just was too tedious, you know. So I gave that up after a couple of courses. And I just stuck with my acting. But now I'm, and I enjoy producing very much. I like to produce some more documentaries. I'm working on a book right now on James Wong Hao. That's my immediate project. Until this early this year, I got involved in the Asian American Heritage Committee, and I got to, I was co-chairperson, so that took 3 months of my time. And then April to May now took another month of my time producing this Cantonese language play for the East-West play, so now I got to get back to my research on James Wong Hao.
Did you know James Wong Hao?
Very well.
Very well.
Oh, I just loved him. He was such a wonderful man. Both he and his wife are very dear friends of mine. I'm a very dear friend of Sonora. His wife was a writer also, very fine writer. So it's unfortunate we lost him. He was sick for 6 years.
Is his wife still in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Sonora is her first name?
S-A-N-O-R-A.